Gospel today comes from the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, and that same day is Easter, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. As I shared with the kids, some of my best memories are walks. I've hiked with the Scouts in the Sierras, meandered around the Twin Lakes at Notre Dame with my wife-to-be, sweated up trails with my daughters in Arizona, and I still, as I said, enjoy getting out to backpack with a church group or to walk along the beach with Beth. It is not so easy, maybe not even possible for some of us to walk, but when it is, walking is a great gift from God. And some of you have recently been hard at work teaching a child to walk, to take the first of hundreds of thousands of steps in a lifetime. For whoever is able, walking is a key part of life. Jesus walked with his disciples. That's how he first found them. He walked along and called some men to follow him. And with them, he walked back and forth around what we now call the Holy Land. Jesus did not, like some Greek philosopher, set up an academy where students came to him to listen. He walked around his country, stopping to teach wherever crowds formed or simply instructing his followers along the way. And that's where we see him today in our reading from Luke. Jesus took a walk on the evening of Easter. in past preaching about this text, and in the title I first gave this Sunday sermon, I focused on the second part, the meal there in Emmaus where Jesus was recognized in the breaking of bread. But when Kristen and Brian talked to me about this Sunday being the day to present our new vision statement, I knew I had to zero in on the first part, that incredible walk between Jerusalem and Emmaus. We don't know exactly where Emmaus was. Now, you'd think it would be easy to identify because Luke gives us the distance in verse 13. And whatever your translation says, it's 60 stadia in Greek. Now, different standards, that's the plural of stadion. And different standards were used for the length of a stadion, but maybe about 185 meters, so roughly twice the length of a football field. And so, as your English Bible may suggest, Emmaus was somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. But that's about as far as we can get because there's no decent record and no modern city with that name that exactly pins down the location. Now, one of the best candidates that was actually called Emmaus is way too far away, about 160 stadia from Jerusalem, more than twice. And other closer possibilities didn't actually have the name, so we just don't know. We don't know where they were headed or where their house was when they got there. If we take this Emmaus journey as a picture of our own Christian walk with Jesus, that's appropriate. Our Lord invites us to walk with Him, but often does not show us exactly where we're going. For people used to walking distances like that, 7 miles is about a 2.5 hour journey without walking without any breaks. It's plenty of time for good conversation, and that's just what the two did. Verse 14 says they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. They were talking about Jesus' death on the cross, as we learn in verse 23, and about the reports that he was now alive. Again, if this is a picture of what it's like to travel with Jesus through life, then here's another clue for us about our Christian walk. We want to be talking with each other along the way about our relationship with Jesus, what we know about Him, and what questions we still have about it all. That's why our church emphasizes meeting together, not just on Sundays, but through the week, to study and explore our faith in smaller groups. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard the sense that we all wish that we might have for our teacher, the teacher who showed up there on the road to Emmaus in verse 15. Jesus himself came near, it says, and went with them. So one thing I'd like to assure you this morning is that we do, in fact, have the same teacher walking with us. But just like those two commuters outside Jerusalem, we often don't realize that he is here, as verse 16 explains, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. There are various explanations for why those two didn't recognize Jesus. There was apparently something the same but different about his resurrected body and the way he appeared. Mary has a problem, and the other disciples seem to have a problem seeing at first that it's Jesus. But for these two, I like the reason that Augustine suggests. He notes that these disciples did not recognize Jesus until after they had walked along being taught by him. Augustine says, their eyes were held from recognizing him. Their hearts, you see, needed more thorough instruction. Now, again, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say that he or she wished she could have walked along the road listening as Jesus explained the scriptures, as further down, verse 27 tells us that he did. I mean, what could you learn if the Lord himself were your Bible teacher? You'd find insight and wisdom in this book, the Bible, that you've never seen before. But what we may not recognize, just like those men didn't recognize Jesus, when we think and say things like that, wishing we could have been there too, is that we do have the Lord as our instructor. He taught those apostles, and then they wrote what we read here. We are studying the same course that they got there on the road. And so whenever we walk and talk together about the Bible, whenever we sit down in a circle and open the pages of this book, Jesus is walking with us and teaching us through those who went before us and through His Spirit. But as Augustine says, we may need more instruction to recognize that, to see Him here with us even now. So one way to look at this text, at this story of this amazing journey to Emmaus, is to receive the blessed assurance that you and I do, in fact, get to walk with Jesus along the road of life. Last week we heard how Jesus made a special point to come and show Himself to one of the 12 disciples who was doubting. This week we see the risen Christ meeting and instructing two of His followers who are not even among the 12. Cleopas is named in verse 18, but he's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. We know nothing else about him. And the other person's not even named. From the beginning, Christians have wanted to speculate, of course, about who these two were, and I've even read the suggestion that the other disciple was Mrs. Cleopas, his wife. I mean, they went home together, right? It was their house. But the fact is that Jesus appeared to give instruction to and then give communion to a couple of Christian nobodies, unremarkable followers who don't appear anywhere else in the written record of those times. That's the assurance that if we set out to do what our vision statement suggests, to walk with Jesus, then He will be there with us. And it doesn't matter whether we're individually very important at all or whether our how big a name our church makes for itself. It doesn't matter if we make the evening news or whether a lot of folks even realize there's a church on this corner, and there's a lot of people who don't know that who live here in Eugene. If we set out to walk with Jesus, He knows who we are and will join us on the way. However, I do want to add this. I've deliberately talked about we as a church walking with Jesus, about Him meeting us on the way. As our vision statement says, we are a family, we are connected. We walk with Jesus together. As modern Christians, we've gotten far too accustomed to the idea that we learn from Jesus and from the Holy Spirit and from the Bible as individuals alone reading by ourselves. Now, let me be clear. I do hope that you each have a Bible and read it. If you don't, we'll give you one. And I hope you'll each bring a Bible here to Sunday school and worship and read along with your teachers and our scripture readers and with me as I preach. But we have heard, I come to the garden alone and He walks with me and He talks with me, or here I am to worship, or all those other praise songs that have the word I in them, a few too many times. It's not just about me walking with Jesus. We are meant to learn the most, to learn the best, to hear the deepest instruction, to see Jesus most clearly when we are together, just like those two were together on the road. Look at the end of the story. What was their first reaction when what they had heard on the road came together with what happened at their table? Verse 33 says, they got up and went back to Jerusalem. Now, unpack that. They were finally home after a long day and a long commute, walking commute, but they turned around and walked 7 miles or so back to Jerusalem. So just so they could share what they had learned with the other disciples. That's the family thing. That's what walking with Jesus means. Not just Him with me, but Him with us all together. It happened this past week. Steve and Anna were in crisis about her brother. I hope you're okay that I'm saying this. They came Wednesday evening here and in the study group prayed with them. Then they posted a prayer request by email, and several of you joined in that email discussion. You walked together with Jesus in prayer and shared encouragement and wisdom and resources with Steve and Anna. And Jesus met you all by offering some hope for change in Anna's brother. That's how it's meant to work. Now back to this journey to Emmaus. Turn the perspective another direction, kind of like you click your mouse and pan around Google Earth in 3D. Look at this all from another angle. I've been talking about Jesus coming to walk with us, about us seeking the instruction we need to see that he's here with us, meeting us on the road, guiding us through his word and through the Spirit. But something else is meant to happen on the road with Jesus. And it's captured here in this mission statement that, and we've had a mission statement like this for many years, but these are fresh words. You can see the old one at the bottom of the back of your bulletin. As we walk with Jesus, we want to become like him. Our old mission statement says we want to grow faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And I really like the proposed new mission statement at the bottom of the insert. There below the vision statement, there's a proposed mission statement that says we want to be apprentices of Jesus Christ. That makes it clear that walking with Jesus means learning to do what he does, to live like he lived, to be like him. The two disciples Jesus found on the road showed how they were becoming like Jesus in at least two ways. First, when they arrived at Emmaus, verse 29 tells us, they invited someone who was a stranger to them. Remember, they didn't know this was Jesus, into their home to share a meal. They had walked and talked with Jesus enough to grasp that the spirit there was a spirit of hospitality and welcome to strangers. And they also then, because of that, discovered the literal truth of what Jesus said over in Matthew 20, 25 about welcoming and feeding and caring for strangers. When we welcome them, we welcome him. Cleopas and his fellow disciple invited a stranger into their home, and in the process, they invited Jesus in. That's what we're about when we welcome homeless men and women and families in to stay with us here at Valley Covenant. The other way those two walkers with Jesus became like Jesus is right there at the end, as I've said already. They could not wait, even for a well-deserved night's sleep, to go and share what they had heard and learned. They told Jesus in verse 24 that disciples in Jerusalem had gone to the tomb and found it empty, but did not see Jesus. And they had clearly left the city before Jesus appeared to Peter and some of the women. And so when they recognized Jesus there at their own table, their first thought is, they don't know it back there in Jerusalem. We've got to get up and take the message to our brothers and sisters. Jesus came to show two walkers along a lonely road that he has risen. And they immediately turned around to share that good news with people who they thought hadn't heard it yet. Jesus comes alongside us to walk with us and show us that he's alive. And we too are called to share that good news with others who have not yet heard or received it. And we get a helpful hint in how to share the good news from Jesus himself in the story. Notice that he did not start the conversation with the scripture lesson. No, in verse 17, he asked them, "What are you talking about? What are your concerns?" And in the next few verses, he didn't interrupt them or jump in to straighten them out. Instead, like our blessed emphasis says today, he listened. And like good listeners do in verse 19, he even asks a leading question about the things that happened in Jerusalem. Walking with Jesus teaches us to do this, to listen to those around us. We need to hear their stories, to hear what they are concerned about, before we can offer them good news in a way that they'll be ready to hear. Ask Jim he'll tell you that most of those guests who sleep here on cold nights, what they need most is not so much the warmth or the food as it is someone to listen. They each have a story to tell. And some of you heard a couple of them come and tell us the story on Sunday morning during Sunday school last fall. We need to listen before we preach or teach, or sometimes even before we offer help or advice or anything else. We learn from and become like Jesus in that way and many other ways when we walk with him. And part of what we learn then is to become like Jesus in giving ourselves away for the sake of others around us and with others around us. Our walk with Jesus is from the beginning meant to be a walk together with others who are also walking with him. Walking together and not alone is the most satisfying way to walk with the Lord. Now, one of the places I like to walk is along or in a river carrying a fishing rod, or in a river wearing waders. Many years ago, I had the privilege of discovering how helpful it is to walk with a fishing guide alongside. The first time was the San Juan River in New Mexico. I'd fished there once before and totally struck out. One evening I was there and stood in the river and watched dozens of trout rise around me. No matter what fly I flung at them, I couldn't get a bite. But for Father's Day one year, Beth gave me a trip with a guide. And he walked beside me, showed me which fly to select, how deep to fish it, where to cast, and then what to do when I hooked a fish bigger than I ever had before. Walking with that guide along the San Juan was a great experience. But the most satisfying and blessed guided trip that I ever took was with my two daughters a few years ago along the Grand River in Ontario in Canada. It was more fun to buy my girls their own waders than it ever was to buy my own. And I didn't mind at all standing there and waiting while the guide showed them how to tie on a fly and where to cast it. And when one of them hooked a fish on her second cast, it was way more fun than hooking it myself. Fishing alone with a guide is fine, I love it, but sharing that experience with someone you care about makes it glorious. The same is true about walking with Jesus. For many of us, one important way to share our walk with Jesus is just like my fishing. You parents are called to walk with Jesus and bring your children along to walk with him too. It's one of the deepest and most important callings a Christian can have. For all of us, though, we have other opportunities to share our walk with Jesus. We share it with our brothers and sisters here in this church. A few of us share it with brothers and sisters around the world. And we share it with those who are not quite there yet, who need to be brought along and listened to and then instructed, like Jesus instructed Cleopas and his friend. It's good to walk. You can walk by yourself, that's okay, but it's better and more satisfying to share that walk with someone else. This year at Valley Covenant, we want to deepen our experience of that kind of walking with Jesus, walking together as his family, as his people. As the old praise song sings, we will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together, we will spread the news that God is in our land. Amen.